You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. All right, we've got to call Grant Newsham here. I don't have Grant trained as well as I have other people trained. Like the chef knows what to do. Hear that noise? That means Grant's not, he's not on. Uh-oh.
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable.
Nice.
Please leave a message.
Monday it is, 9 a.m. Pacific. I thought it was me. I always think it's me. Yeah, might as well listen to the Goo Goo Dolls, right? So you know what that means. We've got to do all personality radio. Good God, I know. So we'll see if Grant answers up. Until then, the Goo Goo Dolls coming your way on the 90,000 watt music mother. Email. Mac, how many minutes of a song can you play before you have to pay for it? You know what the answer to that is? Who gives a shit? Yeah, what, do they have some Nazi out there, like, timing songs? Hey, you played more than 28 seconds. Give us our 30 cents. Yeah, come on. Get real. All right, so no sign of Newsham. So that means we'll go back to the news, and I will expand my commentary on how stupid the Russians are. Or not. Okay, I probably shouldn't do this, but I want to make just a comment about a commercial I see all the time. It's a good song. Okay, I'm not going to say the name of the company. Okay, I'm going to tell you what the company does. You can find out the name. Okay, what the company does is it vacuums fat off of people. Okay? They make an incision, they go inside their body, and let me just tell you, don't do that. Okay? Let me give you some advice. Do not have the fat vacuumed out of you. It is not the right thing to do. It is the wrong thing to do. Okay? it is clearly the wrong thing to do. Oh, we're in a box set of the Goo Goo Dolls here. Could you whisper in my ear? That's right, box set. Listen, when I did radio, I listened to, like, FM people. Oh, my God. What a shit show. And they totally loved doing it, too. They were living their own fantasy. I won't say anything at all. So why don't you? Oh, yeah, they'd be playing the drums, like the air drums. Yeah, Goo Goo Dolls lead singer, don't even know who that is, was on, he was on The Voice last night. Did you check him out? Well, here they are, the Goo Goo Dolls. It's 9:18 on the West Coast. Good morning. Yeah, shit like that. And they would like write that stuff out. They knew the songs that were going to be playing. They would write that stuff out. And I just stared at him like, wow. I live around here. I want to wake up where you. Yeah, Montana Man likes this. Montana Man's having some more leadership issues up in with the interns this year. All right, enough of that bullshit. Okay, back to the news we go. The, here's another email. Mac, you're pretty belligerent with economic power of a nation. Yeah, would you prefer to go to war? It's like a measure short of war. For instance, what is a president supposed to do? Like, okay, they told me to go to hell. There's no repercussions for Mexico not helping us, not working with us as our neighbor. When they, you know, I mean, come on. You win the global geographic lottery and you wind up Canada and Mexico, like, sitting right next to the biggest economic engine in the world, and you don't have any responsibility to help them out when they ask you for help. That's how it works? It's not how it works. Come on, everybody knows it doesn't work like that. So what do we do when they say that? What do we do when they tell me to go piss up a rope? Nothing? Wring my hands? Make a strongly worded statement like the Obama administration? Or do I find a way to put pressure on him? Or her, or whoever did it? No, that's not the way the game gets played. So, same thing with Iran. Come on, man. Oh, really? Tough guy? You're going to threaten the United States? Good luck with that shit. We'd love for you to go down that road. So we could smoke your ass once and for all. And here's the problem, right? The United States has danced the dance that Iran wants to dance. And that is, you deal with our proxies. You don't deal with us. Well, now what we've said is, no, we're going to deal with you from now on. You want to do this shit? We'll deal with you. We're not going to deal with your flunky-ass jackasses in Syria while you sit in Tehran and do all this bullshit. We're going to deal with you. We're going to hold you accountable. What? Whoa, where did that come from? Yeah, it's like we did the rectal cranial extraction and got our heads out of our asses. And, yeah, now we might actually, like, work on doing the right thing here. We're not sure because we struggle with doing the right thing. But, you know, I was listening to somebody talk about the whole thing with China. And they said, you know, look, bottom line, and this is an economist, China needs to embrace these changes because they're going to have to make them at some point. Now, the problem is that it cedes some of the power from Chairman Xi to people running businesses and commercial enterprises in China. That will be something they have to sort out, but they're going to have to sort that out anyway. What the United States is asking on behalf of developed nations is do it now so we can create something robust. But you can't keep, demanding forced technological transfers for entrance into your market. It's not right. So I thought, hear. And that's Mnuchin making us all smart, right? He did that. So anyway, things I've happened to notice here recently. All right, more news. Actually, we can go into the news a little bit deeper since Grant's not going to join us today. Doesn't happen often. I'm not sure what happened, but Grant no está aquí. Okay, back to Marine Corps time. Let's talk about the colonel's letter real quick. Then we'll talk about ISIS. Now, here's the deal. One of the things journalists like to do is cherry pick somebody's a document somebody writes. And I will tell you one of the questions, probably the question I get asked most about post-traumatic winning, is why isn't it more faith-based? You know, and the answer is because you can't have it be faith-based and reach a large audience because the DOD is not going to embrace it. The Marine Corps can't embrace it because nobody will advocate for you because it is faith-based. Now, you could say, oh, well, too bad. Okay, too bad. But if you want to reach a larger audience. So when you begin to use words like shameful and, you know, and your faith kind of spills into it, we're beyond that. I mean, what's interesting last week was to listen to what Dwight Eisenhower said, what Franklin Roosevelt said on the eve and directly after the landing at Normandy. It was filled with religious connotation, filled with religious you know, we beseech the Almighty, blah, 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 blah. I mean, you forget until you hear what they said live or you read it verbatim, you know, not just, you know, Eisenhower's message, you know, he delivered, blah, blah. No, read it. Full of religious content. But we don't do that anymore. We don't do that anymore. So, So when somebody does do it, right, what happens is they get the people get a hold of it, and then they cherry pick it, and then they write an article about it. Now, we've come a long way in our society. Suicide used to be shameful. It was something people didn't talk about. I know when I was a kid. You know, suicide in terms of death benefits. We're not paid, right? Death benefits were not paid. In fact, that's an interesting. There's a whole series of articles you'll find, right? The truth about suicide and life insurance. It doesn't matter how old you are, what your financial situation is, or the status of your health. Suicide and its contributing factors can affect anyone, and for those left behind, it's something they can never fully understand. Unfortunately, it is a reality for some. Suicide is a cause of death for nearly 30,000 people each year in the United States. Many of them have life insurance policies. The number one question regarding suicide and life insurance is if the policy beneficiaries would receive any benefits if the policyholder takes their own life. After suffering the loss of a loved one, times can seem even tougher if a life insurance claim is denied. However, take heart if you found yourself in this situation, because there's a big misconception about suicide and life insurance, the myth and the truth. From religion to law, suicide has lent itself to many official and unofficial rules, myths, and cautionary tales. It is not surprising that insurance made its way into this mix, and many people incorrectly believe that if you commit suicide, your life insurance will refuse to pay out. In actuality, that's not always the case. The answer is actually in an individual life insurance policy. Many life insurance policies, just like other insurance coverage, come with certain exclusions that null and void any benefits should you expire in a certain way, i.e. suicide. However, there can be fine print attached to that exclusion. Some policies will pay benefits if the policyholder committed suicide, but the policyholder would have had to commit suicide after holding the life insurance policy for 2 to 3 years, depending on the carrier. Obviously, this kind of fine print is built into insurance policy. So, here's the bottom line. You should go ahead and do what? Read the policy, right? Read the policy. Take a look at it. Make sure you know what you bought. Make sure you know what you're getting. My mouse is running low on energy. I just got a message on my screen telling me that my mouse is critically low. Yeah, that's my $110 mouse, Ohio man. It's running low. See, it even speaks to me. That's why I spent all that money. Anyway. There you have it. So, some insurance policies may, in fact, exclude that. But again, our culture's changed. Our culture's changed. And when you do mix, right, religion and let's see, public policy, organizational policy, you know, I think you do so at the peril of your professional existence, because your personal religious beliefs aren't supposed to bleed into what you do professionally, especially in the DOD. So anyhow, that'll be interesting to see how that's adjudicated. And again, the first thing that happens is people say, yeah, we want him relieved. While spiritual fitness and faith have been consistent themes among the Corps' leaders when discussing suicide crisis, religion has barely been invoked. That is part due to its potential to impact the perceptions of troops who may question the impartiality of commanders who are charged with leading troops who hold varying religious beliefs or who are atheists. In 1974 Supreme Court case, Parker versus Levy, ruled the First Amendment freedoms are restricted when it can impact good order and discipline of the armed forces. Now, this is from Neller. Quote, perhaps our culture is shifting away from a time when faith was a more central part of our lives. Religious faith, a commitment to a greater cause, or just believing in each other, certainly a faith in something greater than me, Neller wrote in his letter. In his email, Colonel Ford cited a 2017 study on veteran health issues that boasted of the health benefits of religion and spirituality to include reduced mental illness issues, PTSD, depression, and alcohol disorders. The email did not name the specific study. But a 2017 study entitled, quote, Religion, Spirituality, and Mental Health of U.S. Military Veterans, Results from the National Health and Resilience in Veterans Study, contends that having a high religion spirituality score has mental health benefits related to PTSD and depression, among others. Neller did not specifically address suicide as being shameful in his memo, but he did call out Marines for not addressing their mental health issues. It is not okay, however, to ignore your mental health to the point where you are not able to make sound decisions or end up taking an irreversible action that leaves behind teammates, family, and those who care about and depend on you, Neller wrote. So, yeah, you know, you walk a fine line relative to extolling the virtues of spirituality and religion here in modern life. And you ought to be careful. I think when you begin to advocate for religion, you put your professional existence in jeopardy. So you need to learn how to choose your words very carefully. And if you say, hey, I'm not going to do that, then that's fine. Your days are probably done, though. And that's the simple fact of the era that we live. If you want to do that, there's an appropriate forum for that, and that is at faith-based gatherings. And those faith-based gatherings happened on bases all across the country. In that forum, those remarks probably are appropriate. Because the only people that would be there would be people of faith. All right, here's an opinion piece. It's written by James Tyson Curry. Who is he? Retired Army Colonel James Tyson Curry is an executive director of the Commissioned Officers Association. Of the U.S. Public Health Service, one of the 7 uniformed services of the federal government. What? This is an op-ed, and as such, the opinions expressed are those of the authors. All right, headline. Opinion: smoking age high, good for the military. The Defense Department has stated that 175,000 currently serving service members will die of tobacco use. To put that number into context, that's more soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines than were killed in combat in the American Revolution, the War of 1812, the War with Mexico, the War with Spain, World War I, Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan combined. The sad part is that 38% of the current military smokers began smoking after they joined the military, which almost all of the enlisted personnel did before they turned 21 years of age. If legal tobacco use age was raised to 21, almost all of those who enlist in the military would not be able to smoke legally for their first few years, according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. 95% of smokers start by the age of 21. Raising the legal age of tobacco use to 21 would cause a significant reduction in this use. You know, this kind of gets into an interesting, you know, public policy. So I can join the military. I think if you're not competent at the age of 18, you should not be allowed to join the military. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. I can't have a beer, but I can enlist and I can go kill people. How does that work? I can go die for my country, but I can't be served a beer. I remember I saw a video of a Marine being interviewed in Vietnam. I want to say it might have been after Khe Sanh or after Hue, but something in a Tet Offensive. He's being interviewed, and the interviewer says, I bet when you get home, it'll be nice to have a cold beer. And he looked, and he said, I'm not 21, sir. I won't be able to drink. So you can go to Quezon, you can go to Way, but you can't drink. Come on now. So my solution is one of two things. Either nobody can enlist until they're 21, because clearly they're not competent. Okay? You're not going to be allowed to drink, and you're not going to be allowed to smoke. And we're not going to allow you to make decisions, but you can come and get killed. So there's one of two courses of actions I see. One, if you're in the military, you can do both of those things. You can smoke and you can drink. Yeah, we'll be full of smokers and drinkers before long. All right. And or you raise the age limit to enlist to 21. But this, you know, this, yeah, you can go die, but you can't have a beer. That's bullshit. That is absolutely positively ridiculous. And I can't believe that we, you know, that we allow that we think that's a good idea. I just, and again, I used to get in this discussion about alcohol. Like, okay, I'm fine. You can't drink till you're 21. That's, you know, that's, and again, it didn't used to be that way. Wait, in a lot of states, it was 18. I know in states like Ohio and I think Minnesota, North Dakota, you could buy what, near beer, what, 3.2 beer at 18, but you couldn't buy like real beer until you were 21. So baby steps to drinking. Somebody thought that was a good idea. But to me, I've always had issues with it. You know? And now it's smoking. Well, you don't – and I had somebody come on a radio show, and I got into an argument with her. And she was telling me how their brains aren't fully formed. I said, then why do we let them do the things we let them do when they're 18? Well, you know, blah, blah. I said, no. You can't cherry pick that stuff. You can't cherry pick it. It's got to be one way or the other. You can't be sane enough and mature enough to make a decision that ultimately might cost you your life, but you can't have a beer because you're not old enough, or you're not smart enough to decide whether you should smoke a cigarette or not. That doesn't make any sense. Let me just tell you, it reminds me of this issue relative to the draft. Okay, so it doesn't make any sense. And anybody that has a brain would tell you that. You're right, it doesn't make any sense. So we should raise the minimum service age to 21. Yikes, but, you know, they will have gotten out of high school. They will have started a career. You know how hard that's going to make recruiting? There's no way we could do that. Okay, then give them a waiver. Oh, that'll cause us so much hate and discontent. You know, it reminds me of the... I just forgot the issue. Oh, the draft. So women, so there's now in the military, there's no difference between men and women. All the jobs were open, right? So we're the same. So women should register for the draft, right? Wrong. Why not? Because it'll cost us votes. It'll cost us votes when we go to vote. What? Yeah. So here's what we're going to do. We're either going to completely do away with the selective service program, which a nation does so at its own peril, because let's just suppose something really bad did happen and you had to draft people, you needed bodies. What would you do? Well, you don't even have a database that you could order people to go down and register. You don't even have that capability anymore. Is that what we're going to do? Because can you imagine your opponent in the next election, if you vote to have all women register for the draft, right? And they're not going to be happy about it. Wow, what a conundrum. Yeah, so, but again, fair is fair, right? Right? Wrong. Only till we get to politics. Then fair isn't fair anymore. It's what gets you elected or what gets you reelected, and that ain't get me reelected, so I'm not voting for that. But it's not fair. I don't give a shit. So there you have it. Today in and here's the other thing I think. You know, politicians feel so strongly about the whole tobacco thing, right?
Right.
Okay, so how about this? Ban the sale.
What?
Ban the sale of tobacco as a public health menace. Right? I got told, I can't remember how old I was, probably my 20s. Single worst thing, you know, do you smoke?
No.
Good. It's the single worst thing you could do to your body. Single worst thing that you can ingest into your body as a human being that we do on a regular basis. Smoking. Well, then why do we allow it? Why do we allow people to put, if it costs so many people their lives, why do we allow people to do it? Because we're a free country and you can kill yourself if you want to? I guess.
Okay.
Don't we outlaw other products that kill people like that? Well, yeah. But why does tobacco? Oh, because they have big money and big lobbyists. And, okay, got it. Never mind. Email, Ohio man rears his ugly head. I don't know that he had got an ugly head, but I just said that. Life insurance. It's referred to as a suicide clause. 48 states by law require the policy to be in place for 2 years for the company to pay out benefits. One state, I believe it's Colorado, is 1 year, and another state has no minimum requirement, having ruled that it is impossible to know with certainty what was in a person's mind when they bought the policy. Disclosure. I was a licensed life insurance agent during my year at Mizzou, licensed in Illinois and Missouri. Who knew? While a college student, Ohio man, he shucked life insurance. The suicide clause was one of the easier questions on the exam. Info was current as of 86. Some laws may have been changed by then. So, yeah. Suicide changing. You know, I mean, it's accepted. It's not what it was when we were young. When I was young. And it was verboten. It was forbidden, man. You're a Catholic. And, you know, hey, Catholic, man, you were going to hell. You can't take your own life. Yep, that one's off the table. Because I'm not going to hell. Well, I might, but I'm not. I don't intend to go there. And I sure as hell am not going to assist my way. As Will Smith says in a video. Hold on, I'll play it for you. You're going to kick your own self in the balls? Life is hard and you're going to kick your own self in the balls? Hold on. I'll play a good video. This is on discipline. Will Smith. I got to find that. What? Stand by.
99% of people are not willing to do what it takes.
Okay, this is Will Smith talking about self-discipline. So it's kind of, and it's cool because you play this for Marines. And when you're going to talk about discipline, they're waiting for you to roll out chesty puller, right? And then you roll out something like this. So it's not what they expect. And Will Smith he's a cool guy, right? So when you're trying to reach them, right? You're trying to reach them, and they expect you to roll out something like this.
Roll it, roll it, roll it, roll it,
So you get up there, and that's what they expect. They expect you to come out with the Marine Corps party line. They're like, all right, Marines, what are we doing here today? Motivation, through resiliency, whatever, some shit, I don't know. 2 hours of my life, I'm not getting back. That's right.
To keep on rolling.
A double diamond rhythm.
Double diamond rhythm.
A rolling, rolling, rolling.
Rolling, rolling, rolling.
Got to keep on rolling.
Got to keep on.
Who invented that way of speaking? Anyway, okay, so into that mix, you flip Will Smith. Right? I call them table flipping moments, right? Something they don't expect. Whoa, this guy's serious, right? Real Smith. So this is Will Smith talking about discipline, and he talks about kicking your own self in the balls.
99% of people are not willing to do what it takes to make their dreams come true. The Marines have a saying, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die.
I've never heard that in my life. Right, but I'm glad Will Smith is quoting us in the video. I never heard a Marine say that in my life.
The center of bringing any dream into fruition is self-discipline. You know, something as simple as food and eating is not about your body as much as it is about your mind. It's getting command of your mind to be able to choose actions that are in your own best interest. Every day, we are choosing shit that's not in our own best interest.
All right, here it comes.
So if the world is attacking you and the world wants to fight you and the world's trying to hold you down, so you're going to kick yourself in the balls? So you're going to stop yourself from getting what you dream? And I think the word discipline has kind of gotten a bad name. We think about it in terms of punishment. I'm not talking about discipline in that way. I'm talking about discipline in the sense that you forego immediate pleasure for the exchange of long-term self-respect. I believe that self-discipline is the definition of self-love. That when you say that you love yourself, that means that you have behavior towards yourself that is loving. Self-discipline is the center of all material success. You cannot win the war against the world if you can't win the war against your own mind.
Yeah, and so then we go back to we go back to this.
Up from the salt, 60 feet below.
I scuba to the shore and I'm ready to go.
I scuba to the shore and I'm ready.
So anyway, yeah. Your own destructive behavior. So anyway. No, Will Smith. I love finding stuff like that, right? So, and talking, again, what's the essence of communication? You're broadcasting on the frequency they receive in, right? When you roll this out.
Navy, Navy, I'm in doubt!
Navy, Navy, I'm in doubt!
Why your bellies are sticking out!
Why your bellies are sticking out!
Is it whiskey or is it wine?
Is it whiskey or is it wine?
Or is it like a PC tie?
We all know the answer to that one. Come on. So when you roll that out, they just like, whatever, okay, I got it. So when you try to move them and you try to communicate with them, right, and you roll stuff like Will Smith out, I mean, obviously, it hits home. It hits home. So, I won't say it hits home. It hits home for some. And so the art of trying to move them is to communicate with them. And how do you do that? So when you go speak to an audience and 2/3 of it is going to be under the age of 25, how do you communicate with them? Yeah, it ain't you and me that you're communicating with. It's other people. All right. What was the other? ISIS experience in Afghanistan. Now, one of the things that we're in Afghanistan to prevent is the spread of ISIS. Okay. So when you hear the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff talk, and what he said to me personally is, look, there isn't a military solution in Afghanistan. The federal government of Afghanistan is going to have to negotiate a settlement with the Taliban. We are there to make sure that Al-Qaeda and ISIS do not use do not use Afghanistan as a staging ground like they did for September 11th. So this is not a small story. The Islamic group has lost its caliphate in Syria and Iraq, but is the forbidding mountains of northeastern Afghanistan. The group is expanding its footprint, recruiting new fighters, plotting attacks on the United States and other Western countries, according to U.S. and Afghan security officials. Those mountains in the northeastern part of Afghanistan, we should level those things. Nearly two decades after the U.S.-led invasion, the extremist group is seen as an even greater threat than the Taliban because of its increasingly sophisticated military capabilities and its strategy of targeting civilians, both in Afghanistan and abroad. Concerns run so deep that many have come to see the Taliban, which has also clashed with the Islamic State, as a potential partner in containing it. A U.S. intelligence official based in Afghanistan told the Associated Press in a recent wave of attacks in the capital, Kabul, that those attacks are practice runs for even bigger attacks in Europe and the United States. This group is the most near-term threat to our homelands from Afghanistan, the official said. The Islamic State core mandate is you will conduct external attacks in the U.S. and Europe. That is their goal. It's just a matter of time, he said. It's very scary. The area comprising the provinces of Nangarhar, Nuristan, Kunar, and Laghman was so dangerous that the U.S.-led coalition assigned an acronym to it for the years after the invasion, referring it to as N2KL. Militants launching shoulder-fire rockets from Kunar's peaks down the U.S. Chinook helicopter in 2005, killing 16 Navy SEALs and Special Operations Forces in one of the deadliest single attacks of the war. Now, that is the whole lone survivor narrative, right? And they were specifically told by the Marines who owned the battle space that unless they made radio contact, unless they saw live bodies, right, do not set down up there. It was too dangerous. And they did anyway. And they all died. Ajmal Omar, a member of the Nangarhar Provincial Council, says the Islamic State now has a presence in all four provinces. Right now in Kunar, the right side of the road is Taliban, the left side is Daesh. Daesh is Islamic State, right? And the government is in the middle. Speaking inside his heavily fortified home in the provincial capital, Jalalabad, he said neighboring Kunar would soon replace the Middle East as the Islamic State center of gravity. Why they began in Afghanistan, or when they began in Afghanistan, they were maybe 150 Daesh, but today there are thousands and thousands. The bad news is their acquisition of key terrain, height concealment, where they have easy access to money, weapons, and equipment. and from where they can plan, train, stage, facilitate, and expedite attacks. I think expansion of territory in eastern Afghanistan is their number one military objective, said a U.S. intelligence official, with the goal of eventually encircling Jalalabad. Sounds like the federal government and the Taliban are going to be partners unless they want to get run out of their own country. In recent months, the Taliban have said they have no ambition to monopolize power in post-war Afghanistan, while the Islamic State is committed to overthrowing the Kabul government on its path to establishing a global caliphate. We already tried that once in a while. The Taliban and Islamic State are sharply divided over ideology and tactics, while the Taliban largely confine their attacks to government targets and Afghan and international security forces. The Taliban and Islamic State have fought each other on a number of occasions, and the Taliban are still larger and more imposing force. And this is from our envoy, U.S. envoy, Zalmay Khalilzad. Quote, one of the hopes of a negotiated settlement is that it will bring the Taliban into the government and its fight against the Islamic State. They know the mountains. They know the terrain. It's their territory. The other concern about a negotiated settlement is that it could prompt the more radical Taliban fighters to join the Islamic State. That process is already underway in parts of northern and eastern Afghanistan, where the Taliban have attacked the Islamic State only to lose territory and fighters to the rival extremist group. That's not a good thing. At some point, somebody's got to own those mountains and somebody's got to exterminate that. But you know what? It was interesting. Something, I wish I could remember what the title of it was, but I saw something written that talked about conquering mountain people, and that throughout history it was one of the most difficult things to do in the planet, on the planet. That you could do a lot of things, but conquering mountain folk was going to be one of the most difficult things that you do.
Hey there, army!
Hey there, army!
Get in your tanks and follow me!
Get in your tanks and follow me!
I am the Marine Corps Infantry!
I am Marine Corps Infantry!
I was cleaning over the weekend, and I found this.
Hey there, Navy!
Get in your ships and follow me!
Get in your ships and follow me!
I am the Marine Corps Infantry.
We believe that stuff, though. Yeah, we do.
Air Force.
I get in your planes and follow me.
Get in your planes and follow me.
I am the Marine Corps Infantry.
I am Marine Corps.
We do. We believe that. Yeah, you let people think it's a joke, man. Like, oh. How silly. Oh, but it's not silly. Yeah, it's not silly. That'll do it on a Monday. Grant Newsom stiffed me. It was all right. I had a good time this morning. Hey, let me give you some advice. Get up early in PT. It's the only way to do it. I know it sucks. Got to go to bed a little bit earlier, but let's just put it this way. If you go to bed at 10, you get up at 05, you got 2 hours. Boom. Knock it out. Then you're done for the day. Go start your day. You got your PT done. Do your shit.
We'll even teach you how to shoot a gun.
There's room and board and a pay to boom.
Room and board.
You know what? We can't sing. And who writes these lyrics? Okay? These lyrics are like, they're for monkeys.
If I die, you bury me deep.
If I die, bury me deep.
At 245, yeah, I pay.
245.
I did my best.
Hell, Jesse Fuller, I did my best.
Hello, Rodeleo.
Hello,
Rodeleo. Hello, Rodeleo. Hello,
Rodeleo. Yeah, I'm cleaning on Saturday. And I find these.
Hello, howdy-o.
Hello, howdy-o.
Left foot.
Left foot.
Good foot.
Good foot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A double coming.
It's the best. It's the best. What a beautiful culture. And funny as hell, too, man. Funny as hell. There's one... Hold on. Bear with me for a second. There's one... You know those guys who don't... Who can't sing? And they manufacture this voice? It's like a voice from hell? You know? See, that's normal... Okay, this is normal white guy with a little bit of rhythm. That's okay. So now there's, but there's a guy that has like a voice from hell, and it's one of those. Hold on. This guy. Do you remember this guy? He doesn't have a voice, and so he manufactures this like voice from hell. What the fuck is that? That's like a dream, a nightmare voice. That's our culture, man. We love it. That shit is too funny. Come on. All right, don't touch that dial. All personality radio today. Wasn't my fault, man. It wasn't my fault, I promise you. It was Grant's fault. I'll get him to admit it when he joins us. So, have a great day. Start PT in early in the morning. Start building your own stuff. Don't buy everything at Amazon. But Amazon your daddy? Come on. Yeah, the St. Louis Blues, if you're a St. Louis Blues fan, had a chance to close out the Stanley Cup last night in St. Louis. They got railed by the Boston Bruins. So they'll play Game 7 of the Stanley Cup in Boston. First time that's ever happened. Hard to believe, but true. That'll do it. More life's advice coming up next. So don't touch that dial. That's right. That's right. That's right. So have a great day on a Monday, All Marine Radio. Over and... out.